Well, do we want to talk about this being Stunt Granny Audio 955? Mr. Jeremy Mays.
I mean, I think I used all the energy for off the air. I'm trying to keep under control. It's just not.
Completely gassed.
It's just not my thing.
You Pete gassed yourself out.
Now that, all right, he wasn't. Joey Abs was the only wrestler of them, right? Like real wrestler.
I believe.
Trained wrestler, I should say. Whatever happened to him?
Yeah. Don't know.
Huh.
Got no idea. Have not really looked that up.
I'll look that up real quick. Gotta hope he's not dead. It's like,
I feel like a look. Like he kind of had a Wardlow. You know, I don't know if it was as tall as Wardlow.
Exactly what I'm about to say. Yeah.
But I feel like he
he's a healer.
At a minimum.
Yeah,
man, Joey,
he's actually 52 years old. Good, okay. Whew. It's like whenever you do, like, hey, whatever happened to that guy? Oh, they died 3 years ago. Shit. Well, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know. So that would explain what happened to him.
Joey Abs was not a young man when he got involved in wrestling.
No, he's 52 now.
Huh. Yeah, that's it. I'm like, hey, he's older than me. Like, he's... that means he was older than me then, too. So.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like, you say he gives off, like, the Wardlow vibe. I'm looking at these pictures. He doesn't at all. But when you said it, I absolutely agreed with you. Like, yeah, so maybe he did, but...
Well, I mean, clearly the garb was not going to reflect such an attitude, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to do that in preppy clothing.
Very true. And I guess his Indian name was Venom. Yeah, it always seemed like he would like break out a little bit, but nothing. So, just like Wardlow, you keep thinking he's going to break out, and nothing. Not a damn thing.
I was shocked. I'm like, oh my God, Wardlow's on TV. And then he was just in the background.
Staring. Yeah, which, okay, keep the character of it, so that made sense. But yeah, that's... I wanted to actually start with NXT, but fuck it, like, that's fine.
It always ends up this way.
Yeah, but I just finished NXT, so I was like, oh, it's fresh, let's do that. But AEW, like, all right, so I said last night, and I shouldn't have said it, I should have let you watch first. I hate when people do that. I thought that show was boring as hell last night. I didn't give I did not watch the main event because you already know who's going to win. There's no point. Like, does Dax Hardwood ever win a match?
Well, yeah. I mean, he did win that one on Collision against Tommy Billington. So.
Which, that was that... I mean, I've been traveling, as you know. So I only saw, like, the Instagram photos of that. And, like, it was, like, Dax Harwood versus Tom Billington. And I was like, excuse me? And I'm like, because he looks like his dad, too. So that was very strange.
Uncle.
Oh, it was his uncle? I thought someone said it was his dad.
No.
No, I very clearly did not watch Collision, so.
Yeah. So, I did. But, I mean, in a lot of ways, your point stands. When Dax Harwood is in a singles match, I would say that he has probably lost about three quarters of those matchups.
Yeah. And everyone goes, well, they're really competitive. Well, that's a problem too. So, like...
Well, and that was the one that was almost wild to me. These two matches between Collision and this one were almost the same length of match. Like, why did Dax Harwood have such a hard time against this young guy?
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, can't that be said for every single match? I mean, look at
a lot, not all of them, a lot of them. Yeah. Like I've loved the weird because they have had some squash matches recently.
Well, sure.
I forget, like, it was another Collision one where, and I think it was this week, and it was, Daniel Garcia, who rolled some indie wrestler in 2 minutes.
Yes. Well, that is, all right. That's always what happens with these guys. Outside of like Jericho trying to get over Action Andrade, wherever he is.
Well, it just felt like one of those instances where I'm like, I don't. Like, what purpose is this serve? You know, like, I mean, we've talked about the positives of squash matches a lot. Like, that was one where I'm like, what is this? Why is this happening right now? Like, he's been on such a losing streak that I'm like, this doesn't do anything for him.
No, it just enhances the fact that he can beat an enhancement talent. And like it's like, you know why they do it. They're using some local guy.
Right.
So that, you know, he can get the rub and get the hometown pop or whatever. But it's like, who was the squash match this week on Dynamite? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, I need to look that up because that was the reason you brought it up, and I'm like, I swear there is one on Dynamite this week.
Absolutely
too.
Was, yes.
Hook versus Sebastian Wolf.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, it was Hook. So,
yep.
And
now that one, I guess I was a little more okay with, since Hook's already kind of over and you're just trying to say that he's back from injury and kind of moot. And I mean, they did what they were supposed to anyway after the segment or after the match. To move his storyline along.
Yeah, and like, not an interesting storyline either. And all this stuff with Hook is really just kind of showing you he's not really that ready. Like, the whole Shibata him thing in the background. Joe's absolutely right, by the way, which is funny. But then, like, Hook just doesn't come across as... He comes across as very awkward. Like, Joe says the stuff, and he's just standing there. He goes, "I'll fight you." And Joe's like, "Well, you're proving Joe's point." you're distracted with Joe when all you should be worried about is Chris Jericho. But that part of the storyline makes sense, but it's just like the reaction or the acting, I guess, if you want to put it that way, that it's like, all right, he's not ready for prime time.
I definitely think that his acting end of things is like, he kind of had that fun, cool, like dark and broody persona, but they've had him talk more and it's not work. Like, he's not completely failing, I don't think, but he's also not great at it.
No,
you know,
like, that was what made him mysterious and fun, was him not talking. Yeah, he didn't lose, sure, but him not talking, you know, like, it kind of like an ode to his dad. Taz very rarely talked, right? Was that Sabu?
Yeah, not my a missus? Well, Sabu definitely didn't talk.
Yeah,
I do think that Taz was a man of fewer words.
God, it's been so long. And the funny thing is, if what we're saying is true, that he didn't talk much, wow. Because that guy's got the gift of gab. I mean, sometimes he doesn't shut up. So, but the enhancement talent thing, like, I'm sorry, I saw how much time was left in the show, and I'm like, this is for Dax Harwood and Okada. Are we fucking around right now? Like, is there a huge angle coming? And yeah, there was an angle at the end with Darby showing up, sure. But,
no.
I mean...
That's just the whole story of in and of itself.
Yeah, but I was thinking about this earlier. Okada is just another person. I mean, he's not special at all. He stands in the background, and then they've got him doing almost a Funaki thing. Instead of saying indeed, he just says bitch now. And he cheated to beat Dax Harwood. What are we doing?
Yeah, I was definitely not a like it. It's one of the. It was actually one of those things that I'm like, I kind of see both sides of this argument, but I'm definitely not a fan of this side, the side of the argument that they went with. You know, they're trying to establish him as more of a heel, so that
Yeah.
gives him more heelishness, but it's also like, nah, dog, he needs to be going over clean.
Yes,
Like,
quick.
he shouldn't be struggling with this guy this much who just himself struggled with a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to sell him as one of the best in the world. You know, he had a competitive enough match that he should be losing clean.
Yeah, it, and especially, all right, I understand he's a heel, you're right, and I'm with you on that. They're trying to establish him as a heel. Well, one, he shouldn't be. The crowd still cheers for him, so we just throw that out the window. And then two, we're told, and he's billed as, you know, the best wrestler in the world, best wrestler. And I understand Will Ospreay's like their best wrestler in the world guy, but
Also.
yeah, but it's like, okay, the best wrestler in the world comes to AEW, turns bad and cheats. Like, this is not, you know, capitalizing on his name and star power.
At all.
Which, did he have
Yeah.
star? Did he actually have star power? And I don't mean that as an insult. He doesn't tip ratings at all, which I know ratings are subjective, but
Oh.
you know, there's nothing really special about him. He's just a Japanese guy who doesn't speak English and stands in the background. So
He has a nominal championship.
I forgot he even has that.
Yeah, he has the international championship. They did mention it during the broadcast, so they did not forget about it, but they also did, I feel like, make it clear that that matchup was not for that championship.
No, I think they said it was an eliminator, maybe. Or, but then they kind of changed it up and said it was. Which, okay, because I guess the rankings are gone, which is fine. So,
Oh, they made a big deal about bringing him back this year.
well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Everybody has title eliminator matches. Well, then what's the point of the rankings? You
Well,
know?
yeah.
So,
If you're just going to have mini tournaments all the time, it really does defeat the purpose of
yeah.
having rankings.
Yeah, and like all of, but like these are just parts of what make this show boring as hell. Like, okay, another match. We know what's going to happen. Oh, hook and this guy. Okay, we know what's going to happen. Like, I know you can have predictability and still make it good, but I don't know when they've always kind of run into this rut. Like, especially when MJF was champion, they'd hype up somebody for a month or two, have them on TV, and you're like, this ain't gonna happen, and no, it doesn't. Like, in hindsight, one of the best things they did was, like, the Adam Cole stuff, where MJF beats him, you know? And then, of course, they have the whole reveal the devil, which, boy, talk about an utter failure. Jesus Christ. That does, I mean, they still call him the Undisputed Kingdom, but it's like, oof. Sure.
Yeah, that's been a little tough. That's not been good.
No, and but it's like I don't know. It doesn't seem to me they utilize talent very well at all. And it's been kind of an ongoing thing, so it's like I know it's kind of dead horse, but like, okay. Who's the heel? Or am I still holding on to AEW having heel and faces when some people are clearly trying to be heels, some aren't? Who's the heel with Willow Nightingale and
Oh, Mercedes.
yeah. I keep wanting to say Sasha Banks, but
It's kind of half annoyed me the way that she is pronunciating it is Monet, and I'm like,
yeah, it's supposed to be like money. Money. Yeah.
I thought it was more of a Monet,
That's what I thought, but
like the painter, but the way that she was saying it, I'm like, hold on, have we all had this wrong? I was like, this is a way more annoying name then. Because I'm like, you're just barely shortening money.
Yeah. Well, because she's money. So
You
you
know,
got to be
like
have a clever way of
I
saying
feel
it,
like Monet
presenting
has a little more like flavor to
Oh, yeah.
it. So
Yeah.
anywho, yeah, I'm not sure who's supposed to be what. And it's not even in one of those, like, I feel like we've talked about the WWE doing gray area characters well recently. Like, Drew McIntyre is mostly a dick, but he occasionally makes good points.
Well, most heels do, right? Even if they're the bad guys, like, well, they always believe they're right. I think that's part of it, but
Yeah, it's just, I feel like it's just been, even though they, Mercedes and Willow have history, it's been weird how this whole thing's been approached in a lot of ways.
absolutely.
And it's still showing. And I know that Chris and I talked about it last week. The WWE, I feel like the WWE hid the fact that Mercedes should not be doing long promos. Like, maybe I need to go back and watch that stuff, but man, the long promo stuff just has not worked well on her in this AEW run so far.
No, and this is for someone who wants to be an actor too. So, maybe there was a reason that her career didn't blow up after The Mandalorian. Just saying. But
Oh.
yeah. Anyways, I'm not trying to personally rip her, but they do go hand in hand. It's if you want an acting career, you should be able to act while you're in your chosen profession right now. So, but I mean,
And you're
hey,
getting to present your care, you know, and this is another one. You're getting to present your care, you know.
exactly.
That is the one thing that occasionally, I guess, is night. There's got to be some oversight, I would assume, still in WWE, as for what characters are going to be. But yeah, I mean, you have full control, so you should know what direction you want to take. Like, you're kind of your own director, producer,
Well, they even brought
and
in her own person for this.
auteur.
I mean, they brought in the woman from WWE who did most of her
Oh.
stuff, and it still sucks. So, I'm just the whole thing's confusing to me because Sasha Banks has always been a better bad guy. Yes, I said Sasha Banks, whatever. When she was Sasha Banks, she was always better as a bad guy because
Right.
she projects and she really ran into that bitchy. Well, she's CEO now. Oh, she was the boss before. She really leaned into it, and it was like, cool, all right. And then she comes into AEW. All right, she's a CEO. She's doing this, and then she's like, immediately helps Willow, and then gets angry at Willow. And Willow's like, hey, I felt terrible that that happened during the match. Like, even says, like, I'm sorry about this. And she's just being a bitch, but I'm supposed to cheer for her. Like, wait. This lady apologized. And she apologized again. And then finally just had enough of your shit. And then mouthed off at the contract signing. So it was like,
Yeah, I mean, Willow is supposed to be the baby face,
yeah.
but because she's in a weird situation, where they kind of keep on having the Chris Statlander turn on her axe looming above her head. I don't think that's helped her out at all. You know, like, yeah. It just feels like that's kind of wanting to play out the way that they've done things. Like, there's just a lot going on, and I think that it's, you know, yeah, there's almost too much going on with that whole situation. And the fact that they didn't really feud until, like, these last couple of weeks, because Willow had another match against someone else at Dynasty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it was Julia Hart, right?
Oh, yeah, she had to win the title. Oh, yeah. Julia. That's right.
So, but yeah, it doesn't make sense. And it was like, I actually sided with Willow, like, yeah, I'm going to walk out. And the last time we did this, you didn't even walk out. Like, fine, you keep bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm going to lean into it.
Yeah.
Now. Like, and I guess that's the other reason I definitely don't think that she's the bad guy. She's like, fine, if you want me to say that I'm going to lean into it, then I'm just going to lean into it here. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, and then, like, how did... I know Money went through the table. How did that start? Did she take a swing at Willow? Is that what happened?
Funny thing, I saw the replay and I still don't remember.
Okay. The best part of that...
I saw a clip on X.
Okay. The best part was Renee Paquette pulling a Kevin Owens, and as soon as there's like a fisticuffs going on, she just left the ring. That cracked me up, because I remember when Kevin Owens did that one time. He was like, nope, and just made a big production out of him leaving. And she didn't make as big of a production, but she definitely was like, feet don't fail me now in the background. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, she's been a trooper for what she ends up having to do.
Yeah.
She is one of the few spots that I feel like is not... Yeah, she doesn't overdo herself.
No, she's not. Yeah,
you know, like I don't feel like they put her in just enough segments to not like completely overshadow the show. Like sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, why do we still have Tony Schiavone here?
Well, because you can have the hilarious visual of him getting a drink poured over him. I'm sorry, that made me laugh pretty good because he sold it really well. Just sitting there defeated, like, what am I doing here? And he can say anything he wants about how he's trying to put the heel over. He's not that good of an actor, because you can tell, like, his commentary, he doesn't believe most of the stuff he's saying. So, you know, like, oh, what a match! Like, it's not. It's like Brian Cage's Swerve. No. It was just a match.
It was fine.
It was fine. Yeah, but...
You know...
What a match!
I guess Brian Cage could be something, but... Oh, well, I guess that was one where I'm like, hold on, Swerve beat up, again, on Collision, beat up Brian Cage and the Gates of Agony all at one time. I'm like, why am I supposed to believe that this is a match?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, I literally just saw this on your other show, like, 3 days ago, guys. Like, I cannot believe in the seriousness of Brian Cage. I don't care how big his muscles are. Man's in excellent shape. Mm-hmm. Better shape than I've ever been in. Do not care. Do not believe that he can win, especially against Swerve.
No. And it's just like, okay, like, if they don't, I guess it's kind of part of their... booking philosophy problem. There are no disqualifications. There are no countouts. Sometimes it's okay. And in this case, it would have been more than okay for Cage to go off script, you know, in a sense, just beat on Swerve and then have Christian come out. It wasn't about winning. It was about beating him down so Christian can have his way. You know? Stuff like that. Like no one believes he's winning anyways, so why not have some chicanery? I mean,
Well, that also leads into another weird who's the heel in this dynamic moment where Swerve has talked about his evil past, but he hasn't really repented for it at all to truly make him a babyface, but the crowd just cheers for him and he acts more like a babyface now. But then we get everyone saying long-term booking. I'm not sure that that's really what happened here. I think they took advantage of a change in roles. I do not think the plan was to have Swerve do this to Nick Wayne and then for him to become a babyface after a Texas death match where he hung someone. With a
Well,
chain.
if I remember right, though, I do believe Swerve said he's done stuff he wasn't proud of.
Yes.
He can't apologize for it. No, he can apologize for it, but he'd do it again or something like that to get the title. So it's like he at least acknowledged it. Because.
Oh, he's acknowledged it a few times. Like they haven't stayed away from it, but it's still just. It to me, it just leads to a weird dynamic where Swerve is still the baby face, but what he did to Nick Wayne was fucked up. So shouldn't we really be rooting for Christian in this instance? Question mark. You know, I've not that the patriarchy is doing anything nice currently, but. It's just a weird spot, like
I was wondering after all of that, is Swerve okay? Because that frame shot, like he's bleeding, and he
oh,
was bleeding around his eye, and I was like, oh my God. Like, where did that get cut?
that looked one of the few things that I can agree with David Bigspin on. Noted reporter, quote unquote, for wrestling. That was the nastiest blood spot I've seen in AEW.
Yes.
'Cause you could tell that it was real blood by the way that it was squirting. But the
Yes.
fact that it was squirting like that was so nasty. Like, it was just like this steady stream. And I'm like, oh my God. I would assume that it got treated as soon as he got to the back, but that was wild.
Yeah, well that was my thing. Like, is there a piece of glass stuck there? Like, where is that coming from? And Shavon's like, oh, he's got glass in
Oh.
his eye. I'm like, I hope not. Like, I don't think we need to indulge this injury. Like, that was rough. Ugh. But yeah,
yeah,
you're right. Like,
well,
everything else, the blood like fades. That was just going. I'm like, oh, damn. And again, it's not gimmicked. Like, they're so.
yeah, like what
They just want to bleed all the fucking time.
that, yeah, that is one of those things that I'm just like, CM Punk just keeps proving himself right.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, why are you not using, if it's not gimmicked, like, why are you using something that heavy?
I actually have one of those frames that he used. I've got an old Sports Illustrated framed in one of those. That is not tempered glass. That's just glass. So it's just going to break as glass would. So when I saw that, I kind of giggled, like, oh, you get those at Michael's. And then he hit him. I was like, oh, fuck, that's rough. And I just don't understand. AEW's just bloodlust. It's fucking meaningless. If every week, maybe every hour, someone bleeds, who cares? But then something like that, like last night, if no one had bled on AEW for a while, then it would be pretty noteworthy. stand out?
I think if you weren't paying attention, it didn't really stand out. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really linger on it that long.
I mean, they had a close-up of it.
And they did have a close-up of it. Yeah.
So, but it's... Like, I think, was he the only... No, he wasn't the only one. Jericho bled last night, too. And it's like, Jesus Christ. I think his may have been an accident. I think Hook actually really clipped him pretty good with that microphone. But...
Oh. Yeah. And, even it's not the thickest, the hair does help soak such things up.
I mean, he kept, like, showing his hands, like, hey, I'm bleeding. It's like, don't. Just. But it adds to the same old of AEW, which is what these shows are. The most refreshing thing on that show last night to me was Malakai Black actually talking. And actually having something to do. Whether you liked it or not, it was like, oh, wow. Look how good he used to be. I know, it's like, but...
Yeah, the only problem I have, I'm like, I know he's losing at the end of this thing, like...
Oh, yeah, it's this, the whole Ben thing,
it's the one inevitable thing that I just keep on going back to. I'm like, I don't trust that he's going over, you know? And I don't know what you do, like... They've been such a weird, they've gotten a lot of TV time after Malakai came back from whatever that, you know, hiatus was for. Mm-hmm. They've been on TV, but they haven't gone anywhere.
No, they're the exact same.
They are just running in this weird hamster wheel that they keep on having feuds, somehow have a lot of trios matches, but really just go nowhere.
Yeah, no, yeah, every feud with them goes nowhere. But it's also like another thing where, okay, Adam Copeland's taking on Buddy Matthews, L. Adam Copeland's taking on Brody King. L. You know they're not winning. There's nothing. Like, I even said when Wardlow and Joe went going at each other, Wardlow should win. It surprised everybody and messed everything up. And I still stand by that, and that's what they need to do. Surprise people. Make it worth tuning in. But you advertise ahead of time, I already know who's going to win. And it's the same thing. I agree with you, unless Copeland's going to try and, like, turn into a bad guy character somehow. You know, like he tried with Judgment Day.
Yeah, I did like that someone mentioned that Edge keeps on having problems with three-person groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and Rhea Ripley liked it or commented on it. I had a decent laugh to myself on that one.
Yeah, but it's like I know he's like I didn't watch the whole thing, but he had an interview with Chris Valet, and I guess he talked about the difficulty of it. And then I didn't watch it, so I don't know why I brought it up. But I'd be like, that's your fault. You should have known better.
The difficulty of what?
Of being a bad guy for Judgment Day. And it's like, yeah, no one wanted to boo you. Like, that's the whole point, but whatever.
Yeah, you're a venerated star that came back from what everyone thought was a career-ending injury. Yep. Like, why did you think someone was going to boo you?
Yeah, and I know he brought that up, too. I get tired of that Chris Valet guy during the interviews. So... Like, if I could just read it, it'd be better.
Is that how he's pronunciating it these days?
I don't know. I just said his name that way. So, is it Van Vliet?
Van Vliet.
Oh, Van Vliet. God, I'm all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm all wrong.
The letters are actually said. Yeah, it's one of those rare instances where instead of like not enunciating like three of the letters because it looks like a French name, you actually say everything.
Oh, okay. Whatever. So yeah, he gets on my nerves after a while. Like everything is. So, how was your day today? Like, oh, it doesn't have to be dramatic, man. Like, who's the guy that was? He was on Game Day. Now he's on Fox. He always does the dead kid stories or dying kid stories for College Game Day.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. It's just. Oh,
Is he, I
well.
mean, you're not talking about Keith Jackson or anything like that,
No,
are you?
Keith Jackson's dead. I think so.
Yeah, I know. Oh, you mean someone present day
Yeah, he's
college football?
present day. Tom Rinaldi. That's his name. Every time on game day, they'd be like, the story of inspiration and triumph with Tom Rinaldi. And I'm like, oh, God, a cancer kid story. I just want to know about football. No. And they're the
But
saddest
then,
things. Like, get out. Stop.
they love football too, Jeremy.
Yes, they do. For the 14 minutes they have left, I don't need this hanging over me watching game day. Oh. Save it for a special. It's not that the stories are bad or the stories are like they're riveting, but I don't want to know. I just want to know what the games are coming up, and I want to see Lee Corso be goofy. Can we just do that?
Yeah, just let Lee Corso put the hat on. Like
Yeah.
that's what everyone's here for.
Yeah, and that's yeah, the rest of it I don't care. It's just but anyways. But yeah, I'm trying to think some, what else happened at AEW. Like I know Christopher Daniels got fired. Okay.
Well,
So
that was one where it kind of contributed to kind of agreeing with your boring. Like, I feel like they did a good job for the most part of moving stories along, but I also didn't care. So, and that happening was one of them.
Yeah. Cause,
Oh.
because it, again, it was another
Because
one. Like, all right.
he's been on TV a couple of times recently, confronting the Young Bucks. But you've only had him on TV like twice
Yes.
in the last like 3 years. If he was an Adam Pearce level, involved in the show, I feel like you'd get more sympathy out of it.
Yeah. Yes.
But like he just kind of showed back up on TV and he got I mean, yeah, I guess you've got to believe at least the gimmick firing. And yeah, like I guess I'm just not even buying the gimmick firing. It's
No.
just like, guys, I know that he's still going to be working backstage,
Yeah,
so I mean.
he's your director of talent relations. I'm pretty sure that's not happening. So, like, okay. But again, all right, that's what I keep getting at with the storyline. There's the people who know AEW. There are no casual fans. So no one is buying this stuff. We know he's not getting fired. We know Kenny Omega, like, you didn't fire him from the Elite. Like,
Well, if he fired him from the Elite, they just didn't fire him from AEW, which
Right.
is,
But
firing him from the Elite is a meaningless
Right.
firing.
But it's just, that's why the storyline doesn't work. They cater to the internet fans. And then they want to do these angles for casual fans. It doesn't make sense. But that's their choice. They want to just keep plodding along. And maybe it'll get better. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I mean, again, like I'm at least going to give them the credit where they're moving stories along now. I may not be particularly engaged or believe in them, but that feels like it was better than the stuff that we were really complaining about a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, It's not a great improvement. It's an improvement. You know, it's kind of funny too, though. Like, I feel like the stories have improved. Like, I like Dynasty, the pay-per-view. Feel like the stories have improved, even if they're kind of boring or whatever. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't even... Yeah, we talked about a Jericho an appropriate amount, actually.
That's fine. I didn't want to talk about that at all.
Yep. I was just like, yeah, I don't need to revisit that. I'll just let sleeping dogs lie. But yeah, that's what I was going towards. I'm less interested in their Double or Nothing card, though. Like, even though I've kind of acknowledged the stories are there, like, I just don't have that much interest in that card.
No, not at all. There's literally nothing that would make me buy that.
Dynasty pulled me in because there are a lot of really good-looking matchups on that card. This one, nah, I think I'm taking an old passola on this one.
Well, I mean, you know, the riveting Tony Storm Serena Deeb didn't do it.
Serena Deeb's also in the category of just please don't give her a long time to talk again.
It's
please,
just a mess. Again. Like, okay, so we were talking about 50-50. So you're trying to tell me your AEW Women's Champion took that long to get rid of her? What's her name? Danny something?
Like, I was almost going to call her Mariah May, but... No.
Danny something, I think. Well, a woman who has been on TV approximately 17 times.
Harley Cameron.
That's it. And it's like, like she was a comedy act, and yet she's hanging with the champion? Get out of here. It should have been instant revenge, 3-minute match. It's like you're trying to push Harley Cameron. Why? If that's the reason, why?
They needlessly make their top stars not look great in these types of matchups.
Not at all. And I don't know why someone isn't like putting their foot down. Listen, this doesn't work. But they want everybody to be on even footing. That's stupid. No one gets over, obviously. So,
no.
Like Tony Storm, is she the bad guy or the good guy in this? I have no idea.
She was the good guy, but then she made fun of someone who had seizures, and things got really weird at that point. And things are continuing to be weird because she's still making fun of her having seizures. Weird thing to make fun of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Tony Storm had definitely been on a babyface, if not trajectory, full-on turn as of recently. But then you have the bad guy talk about her seizures that may or may not come back and just make me concerned for the fact that she's deciding to wrestle, even though she could go into seizures at some point?
Yeah.
Question mark? Like, seems kind of wild to me.
And AEW.
I mean, that's still an awkward thing, and then her just standing out there this week with a flag. I think I'm not quite sure what the flag said or why she had one, because she's not had one before.
For some reason I kind of remember her having a flag before, like an off one. I don't remember.
Okay, but
it doesn't matter.
Sure,
but that's another one. I don't believe Serena Deeb's gonna win. And this is a pay-per-view match.
Uh-oh.
You know, like, it's Swerve and who? And Christian. There ain't no chance in hell Christian wins.
Oh.
Like, I guess the Young Buck, the Team AEW, Team Elite, that's kind of up in the air. I guess.
If it isn't Team Elite, I would be shocked.
Yeah,
Because it makes sense for the heel team to go over in that situation.
It really does, yes.
So,
And then I'm trying to figure out who else is on this card, but like it's just it's another no
I think we've I think we've named about all of them because it's Mercedes, Willow, because there's only five matchups right now. The other one that we haven't talked about, I guess, match-wise. So, yeah, there's the two women's matches, Tony and Serena, and then Willow and Mercedes. Yeah.
Now, that I will say is a toss-up to me. I think Mercedes wins, but if she didn't, that wouldn't surprise me either. She's been a dud on arrival, too. Not her, maybe not her fault, but no impact whatsoever.
No, that needle has moved nowhere.
Nope.
It doesn't change the fact, hey, if you wanted to go there and you thought that was the better place for you, God bless, you're not making a dent in nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting money. That's all. That's the whole name of the game. Get paid.
Yep.
So.
Yep, congratulations on that front.
Yeah, no problem with that, but... I mean, I'm not going to order this AEW pay-per-view anyways, but
yeah,
it's still like, okay.
Yeah, one of the other matches on that pay-per-view is Will Ospreay against Roderick Strong.
Can't imagine who wins that one.
Yeah, and that would be a real disaster if Will Ospreay
does. But Kevin, they're going to be great matches.
Probably is going to be a very good match.
Yeah, but so not what?
Not worth that price. Like, I don't care about Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay that much.
No.
I care about, I like Will Ospreay a decent chunk, but, I don't care about him wrestling this incarnation of Roderick Strong.
No.
Who is essentially a joke, but we're supposed to treat him as a serious champion now.
What, he has which title? International?
Was it the... yes, it's the international because that's what Orange Cassidy had.
All right, what does Okada have then?
What did Eddie Kingston have?
I don't know.
Continental Classic Championship.
I'm not exaggerating. My brain actually fell a little bit when you said that. Like,
I can't believe that I pulled that one out. Actually. Because like, I think earlier in the show I called it the International Championship.
Sure, who cares? Can they unify those? Have Ospreay and Okada just unify them so we go back to one?
Still entirely too many championships.
Who's the TBS champion then?
That is Adam Copeland.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. It's like I would know these usually. But it really is just, like, exhausting. And...
they've got too many champions.
Oh, another highlight of the show, which was the beginning. The classic, hey, this match hasn't started yet, right?
Oh.
But they kept playing the music. I don't know why that made me laugh. And even Excalibur goes... Oh, there's another thing that made me laugh, too. But, Excalibur goes, well, the match hasn't started, and music hasn't stopped. That Bryan Danielson song is horrible. Oh, my God. It's a good thing they cut it off most of the time.
I have not been a fan of that match.
No.
Since it started.
But to ring the bell and the music stops, I was like, all right, that's pretty good. Like, all right, I enjoy that. I enjoy that. But then the other one that made me laugh was... Excalibur asking for a mop. He's like, "Can we get a mop out here?" And Shivani goes, "A mop." He was like, "Oh, in a towel, a towel and a mop." Like, what an asshole. We're supposed to be friends, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Taz isn't the only one that shits on Tony Schiavone. Like, that man gets it from every side when he's on TV there. Like, literally every side, because Taz doesn't like him, Excalibur secretly doesn't like him, even though they mostly agree in their opinions.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Because, he really hung him out to dry, that one.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, wow.
Did not mean that pun.
So, on that, let's go talk NXT.
NXT.
Yeah, man. I don't know what to make of this show anymore.
You were ready to rant rave before.
Oh,
it record either time.
I don't know. Well, some of it's not going to make air. That's just not. But I'm tired of blonde women on this show. I'm tired of blondies with goofy names. And I was texting you, like, I wasn't on last week. That combine thing, I get why they're doing it. Because they're going to the UFC place for this next pay-per-view, or PLE. But it makes no sense. It's not like WWE's big on wins and losses mattering anyways. They're trying to get better about it. But you're at the combine. Okay? So whoever does the best of the combine gets to be in the matches. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Like,
it's as good a reason as any to rank people, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Especially since it's 12 people. I mean, dear Lord, that is a wide field. The fact that they actually had someone on this week NXT that said, I failed to get into the field of 12, and I'm like, holy shit, there are more than 12 women yeah. that are regularly on TV right now?
And then the ones that aren't, like, Gigi Dolin wasn't on TV. Ariana Grace, she wasn't on. And I'm like, are you trying to tell me, like, Gigi Dolin and Ariana Grace aren't going to be in this tournament?
I'm trying to remember what the names were, to be honest with you.
Exactly. And, probably some blonde girl who's like Ridley Bejesus or whatever. Like, oh, okay. I'd actually remember that one, but
I don't even know how to look that one up. I guess just regular Google search. Because I know that was on last week's show.
I don't really remember.
Of who it was. Because Sol Ruka, Thea Hale, Jada Parker, Brinley Reese, Meechin, Fallon Henley, Lash Legend, Ivy Nile, Izzy Dame, Kalani Jordan, Tatum Paxley, and Ren Sinclair. That is the full list.
Two main roster people are in there. And I'm like, well, why didn't these other main roster people go down to NXT?
At least one of those main roster people lost this week, so.
But, like, you're trying to tell me, like, Lola Vice didn't qualify for this. You know, like, you know what I mean? Because she didn't go to the combine.
Yeah, evidently she did not feel it. She was fine being petty and picking fights with Shayna Baszler.
Lying to us. Off-air stuff's fun, but I don't know. It was just so goddamn stupid.
To me, it was more of the I can't believe how many women that they have. Like, there were 12 people that made that tournament. They're cutting it down to 6 for the ladder match itself. So there's just the one match that everyone's wrestling to get into it. And there's still other, like, there's 4 other women involved in a segment.
Mm-hmm.
At least, okay, so 2 of them are main roster people, but that's still another 2 women. You're not counting, oh my God, Tony D'Angelo's.
Yeah, Rizzo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Riz.
The Riz, yes.
But, I mean, she hasn't really done anything in the ranks. So, I mean, that's not much of a shock. But, anywho, I was just like, dear Lord. Like, that really quantified to me how many women are on NXT.
Yeah. And seemingly all of them are doing something. Like, better or worse, they're all doing something.
Well, it's one of those things where I guess I actually know the differences between the blondes. Like, they haven't done... I still feel like they're maybe lacking a little bit. The Ren Sinclair might be a little bit of a blank slate for me.
I truly have no idea who that is. I do not know who that is.
I feel like she was Fallon Henley's friend for a hot minute when she had a country friend.
Okay.
So yeah, I feel like she's been on TV a little bit. Everyone else, because Izzy Dame was the one that was with Kiana James and got the pep talk from her.
Oh, not Mariah May. Okay, I know who that is. You know exactly what I mean. Like,
wow, they kind of, well, yeah. I can't believe that the names kind of have a similar ring to them, too. Izzy Dame and Mariah May. Like, mm-hmm. I know that there's more alliteration with Mariah May, but I feel like their brevity and their possible pseudonyms in a nightclub of sorts.
Yeah, but that was the first thing. I saw her this week, and I was like, hey, that's not Mariah May. So I'm like, okay. So,
yeah, I mean, she's finally getting to stand out, but I mean, she has had something of a personality, I guess, since she's been paired with someone for a little while at this point. She did kind of suffer a little bit from the general fact that Kiana James wasn't on TV that much the last couple of months before they called her up.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, it was wild. Oh, and Brinley Reese, she just, I don't know why. I can't remember between Anofe and Blade, who's the one that's depressed right now and having to use
that's Anofe.
Anofe, okay.
Yes. Malik Blade used to have the sweater on.
Okay.
He's like the nerdy one, where the other guy's the more confident one, if that helps.
Okay.
Yeah. So, they're a weird group anyways. Like,
yeah, they fall into that kind of metaphor scenario where it's just like, I understand why the two guys work. I'm not quite sure where she's fitting in here.
Yeah. To me though, I look at those guys like, oh, the way they keep doing NXT cuts, I don't know. Like it's not their fault, but they've never, well, maybe it is. They've never really gotten behind them.
That is a really, really strange case where they've gotten plenty of TV time. They've never really gotten a push. I feel like they present themselves well and that they have good characters. And I don't feel like they wrestle poorly. Like, it's one of those situations where I guess I'm kind of surprised they haven't had more of more results at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like that. There's also like an abbreviated push with them, and really they kind of do that with everybody there. Like there are so many people in NXT that don't make TV all the time. Let alone I don't remember the exact number, but isn't there over 100 people in development? It's some ridiculous amount.
Oh.
So it's like, all right, there's people constantly coming in. So, and there's some you just know aren't going to work, but, you know, whatever. But it's like the one guy, I didn't realize the one guy that came out with like Native American gear, not Eddie Thorpe, or wait, whatever his name was, not him, the other guy that Lexus King beat up and took his spot.
Bear Hill or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, well, he's gone. Yeah, he was one of the releases.
Uh-oh, okay.
So I was like, yeah, I never really saw it with him anyways, but like, where the hell is Eddie Thorpe at?
Injury.
Oh, is he? Okay, I missed that one.
Just because, well, like, right before starting this show, I saw Dijak, like, say on the X there that he's like, I'm so pumped for this guy to be back. He's like, I love this guy. Like, he's a future star. And I'm like, that is quite an endorsement there, sir.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they did have a feud, so I'm not completely surprised by the respect, but it, you know, with where Dijak has gotten, that's something to be definitely a positive. But yeah, I forget. Oh, he actually got injured against him during their underground match.
Oh, okay. Well, God, that was a while ago. I was wondering why he hasn't been seen at all.
It mentioned that he got injured in December. So yeah,
okay,
it
God
has
damn,
been
that is a long time ago.
But and yeah,
speaking of injuries. Where the hell's Wendy Chu?
Oh, she came back from the injury and then disappeared, huh?
When did she come back?
Didn't she have one TV appearance?
No, that was Nikita Lyons.
No. I swear she had one.
I know Nikita Lyons came back and got hurt in the match. I don't remember. Never remember Wendy Chu. Wait, did they have a vignette about like an alarm clock or something like that this week? Or like sleepy stuff?
Oh, I don't remember.
Because they did last week.
Maybe she returned at a live event and I'm mistaken for being TV.
Okay, a live event would make sense. But no, there was a vignette. And it had something to do with like an alarm clock or sleep or dreams or something. And I just went, oh no.
Oh yeah, they did. They had because I actually for some reason when I was fast forwarding, even though it was a black screen, I had stopped. And yeah, they just had like a black screen, but it said NXT on it, so you knew that it was part of the show.
All right.
And
I'm wondering.
Yeah, you're right. There was an alarm clock, or you know, some type of alarm clock, old school alarm clock sound. And, maybe like a yawn or something.
Oh, no.
And,
please, no.
That completely makes sense that gimmick is.
Don't bring that gimmick back.
For some reason, that gimmick is back. I have no idea why.
Yeah, I mean, she's talented. My problem was never her. It was the gimmick, which made me hate her. So...
Yeah, it's
fair or not. I don't care.
It's really strange. You know, there's a lot of diverse gimmicks there in NXT currently. That one is even wacky by NXT standards.
Yeah, a little too wacky, but you know, but we're not talking about the show at all, which is kind of telling. Like the matches were fine.
They're still, like, their problem is they lost the top of their card.
Yes, they did.
And it is showing on TV. Like, because Chris and I did talk about this part last week, and I mean, I don't think this week was any different. Like, they are definitely in the, we're throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks, and we're going to go from there. Like, I think one of the few things that, I don't think it's out of the pale to say that Sol Ruka has already got to be one of the top people to win the NXT Women's North American Championship.
Yeah. I mean, they're just laying it on pretty thick with her. So...
I mean, they're giving her they're letting her do the crazy finishes.
Yes.
And it is still, it's a never ceases to amaze me what she's doing in the ring and outside of the ring.
Like, the handstand walk entrance has to go. That's stupid.
I am amazed at the balance. So, I can't do this. I am shocked that someone can walk that distance on their hands and keep on going. So
next time you visit, come to the gym with me. You see it every day. So, it's like, okay, but I guess that's just me. Like, and it's just awkward, I guess. Like, hey, I'm upside down with my back to you. Like, hey, everybody. But I mean, no, I can't do those. I mean, I'm not built for handstand walks, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I am either. but yeah, everything else, like, yeah, they are definitely putting it out there. And I mean, I feel like she's one of the few things that it feels like a sure thing in this reboot of NXT
Yeah,
now.
I really do. I mean, what a shocker. I really do like her finisher with the Soul Crusher. That just looks like it hurts. I know it's just a cutter and she goes upside down, but there's something about the whiplash motion of it that just makes it look way worse than a regular cutter.
Yeah, it has something of the what was Athena doing? Wasn't it the super stunner?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Basically, like, yeah, it's kind of all in the, like, it's different enough from the RKO because the flip's got to be involved, but it's basically an RKO.
Yeah.
There's just a little extra panache on there, and that's fine. Like, I mean, that's what sets the things apart. Like, it doesn't need to be big stuff sometimes. Yeah, it's definitely a signature, and they let her, they've already let her pull it off from a couple of different scenarios, and wow, her on a ladder is going to be something else.
I'm kind of hoping she doesn't try that, but you know she's going to. That just looks like that's going to be rough, but.
Yeah, I just hope she doesn't decide to do it the outside of the ring. Like, I don't know what level of crazy she is.
Yeah, but you know, every ladder match, you got to try something goofy, so.
Yep, well, and I'll also say that young bodies recover easier from these things than
Yeah, it's very true. But she just got back
old.
from an injury, so let's not go out with a new one. You know?
Well, again, like, I'm still surprised who what she's doing now. Like, just like, oh, no, I'm still going to do all the flips. Like, I'm not worried about blowing out my ACL again. Like, yeah, she's still going for it, that's for sure. And what, oh my God, it was on her Instagram page. She did like a flip into a one-legged squat, and I'm just like, okay, yep, sure. Sure. You do you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who
I
else
like
was? What other match was in this for this tournament? I can't remember who it was.
Lash Legend was the
That's right.
one beat Ivy Nile.
Oh, I hated the end of this. I think Ivy Nile took the distraction pretty well. She gets her leg tossed. She just turns around, kicks her, and then for some reason goes in slow motion into Lash for that pancake. And I'm
Oh.
like, ugh, just so slow. And then, like, the back and forth was fine. But, I mean, obviously, they're
No.
putting, you know, getting behind the old Lash train here, which is fine. But she's improved, because remember, she was not good before. So.
Yeah, character, like, I don't know why the talk show character just never hit for one reason or
You know
another
why it
for
didn't.
me.
You know why it didn't take off.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, I mean, obviously that's why you come back with a new character too. So
Yeah.
just quietly go, yeah, we're sorry, guys. This was not good.
It's like they got in and then Vince stopped paying attention and they're like, "All right, we're gonna slowly get rid of all this stuff." Although they are hanging on to Tony D, that's for sure. Which can all
Oh.
right, Lash Legend 1, great. Can we please, since I mentioned it, that backstage interaction between Ava and the family. Hey, where are those guys? We don't know. You can't be kidnapping referees. Hey, sorry about that. Like, is this a real conversation we're having? Like, all of that stuff existed outside the frame. Don't bring it in and try and make sense of it. Like, huh? But, and then he goes, "We're gonna fine you $20,000." And I'm like, they're gonna have money, aren't they? Yep. Just hand it to her. She's like, what's this? I'm like, what do you think it is? Like, it's really dumb and absurd, which I'm all for. But, like, the acknowledgement of it kind of confuses things. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that has been left more in the cinematic segments than it has in any of Tony D's like in-ring interactions or out of ring in studio interactions. You know, they almost play it like he didn't off multiple people already
Yeah.
during the course of NXT. He's helped kill at least three people.
Yeah, one guy resurrected an AEW and then his career's. Yeah, he murdered that one. So,
Yep, he's still dead in AEW.
yeah, and it's like I liked like the, and of course Pretty Deadly, obviously that was a fun backstage segment, which that didn't make air. That was just for the web, which I thought was disappointing.
Yeah, and then they got drafted, and it was like, oh, we're gonna see them again, and I'm like, oh, we're not gonna see them
Nope.
again because I have not seen them again. I feel like they're on Raw, and I'm like, come on, guys, like this is 3 hours of TV.
No, they're
Like,
still on SmackDown.
oh, they're still on. Oh,
Yes.
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah. So.
that is a little more of a hassle trying to get airtime on SmackDown.
Definitely. So, yeah, the 3 hour, it's funny, you can play around a lot with that. Where, unless they want to make SmackDown like hyperkinetic like NXT. Things happen, things happen, things happen, things happen. Like, oh my God. Okay.
Things do happen pretty rapid fire in NXT.
Yeah, which, you know, nothing really gets. The AEW did the same thing, but, like, nothing really gets any time to breathe anymore. I mean, even, like, Mercedes goes through the table. We're going to commercial. Swerve is bleeding in the ring. Hey, coming up next with the AEW Fight Forever download pack. Like, how about the guy bleeding to death in the ring?
Well, and another thing that was on NXT that made me think of that very definition, the main event. You have Tony D'Angelo win the
Yep.
the North American champion, the Heritage Cup championship. And I mean, Vic had barely said Tony D'Angelo won, and he's like, oh my God, I'm getting a call from the backstage area. And it's just like, I posted this and I still stand by it. Why wasn't that a online skit? The Gallus attack thing?
I think I don't want to use it like this, but like almost like a reward. They were a decent sized deal before they disappeared.
Oh, right.
So having them come back and attack, and it looks like Joe Coffey, it or yeah, Joe's the leader. It looks like he, I mean, he took out everybody in the North American thing, so it makes me wonder if that's he's gonna insert himself or get inserted into the match with all three of them, make it a four-way instead. So maybe that's why. Yeah, because it was Ivar, Josh Brooks, and
And Wesley.
Wesley. So I guess that's why. And also, that's a pretty big splash, man. I mean, you come back. So I mean, I can see that. And also, it just but it's like I get what you're saying though. Hey, we have a new NXT champion, Tony D'Angelo. What's going on in the back? Like.
Well, yeah, the larger point of things just not getting a chance to breathe. It's just like, good gravy. Like, this needed a chance to breathe, especially after, I mean, there was that moment where you're like, oh, is Charlie Dempsey going to be able to overcome this stuff? Because D'Angelo was the one, honestly, that was more distracted by Damon Kemp and I can't remember the other guy's name
The
yet.
other guy.
Miles Bourne. There we go. I actually did not look at the report,
Is that
but
really his name?
I'm pretty sure I'll need to roll to the bottom here. Do do do. Come on, find it. Yeah,
This is the
Miles
most.
Bourne.
Okay, this is the most we've ever talked about this guy. So, but it's just like he just gets
Oh,
inserted
Jackson.
into things.
But yeah, I mean,
So,
he has not been memorable because he was the
no.
first guy when Drew Gulak is around. Now he's been elevated to third guy, and he has yet to really make much of an impression one way or the other.
Well, yeah, it's just like the guy that was with Ridge Holland this week. I don't remember his name either. And that's probably on me because he's been around enough. But he hasn't made an impression whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, he got his moment with Thea Hale, and it's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, what a bizarre storyline that was. We were on a date. I wasn't myself. Oh, we can just be friends. We can go for another date if you want. Like, dude, you that turned off. But then also, that guy's also, I think, engaged to Blair Davenport.
That is also
So it's
correct.
probably like, I really don't want to do a love triangle, a love angle thing with somebody else. But yeah, like,
Yep, do not blame him.
yeah, so we were talking before the show. So I'm guessing Ridge Holland's gone. He's going back to the main roster. Because that was like the stipulation machine gun, well, not machine gun, but Carl Anderson put out there.
Oh, right.
So, and then the way they were talking, I mean, it seemed like leaving him go, but my thing was, is it just him? Or is it the other guy too?
Oh, Sean Spears?
No, not Shawn Spears, the guy that teamed with him.
Oh, Sugar, who ended up teaming with him? So I'm trying to remember who that was, but
Yeah, that guy. So the other guy in
okay.
Chase U.
Oh, Riley Osborne.
Yeah, we were just talking about him. That's how indistinguishable. I'm sorry, I was getting on the blonde guys, on the blonde women. These generic males aren't helping either. So it's like, I'm not expecting everyone to come out with like a purple afro and like pink wristbands, but just something. Like, wear name tags for a while. Just, I don't know what you gotta do. I'm not the only one that has this problem too. So it's like, okay, cool. So
yeah, it's definitely all part of the great reshuffle of the year of our Lord 2024.
65 people on a show and I'm supposed to keep track of all of them? No way. No
Yep.
way.
Yep, that is pretty much the case. They have got a lot of faces packed into
Yeah.
2 hours.
Well, yeah, but like the show, like I was very surprised Trick was only on for that small segment. We never got a resolution to who attacked Noam Dar.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird because I'm like, hold on. Now, after Gallus attacked these guys, am I supposed to believe that Gallus attacked Noam Dar?
No, I think it's just Noam Dar's faking it. Because if he's not, they have a horrible medical staff. He's back there. Oh, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. He's like, well, you're not. Well, I can't clear you for the foreseeable future. What, doc? No. Well, why? He just walks off. Like, you're just done checking him out. Oh, you're fucked, dude. I'm out of here. And just leave. Like, what? This is TKO money, huh? All right.
The finest doctors that money can buy.
Yeah, so, but I was just surprised, you know, they're trying to further the thing with Lash and Trick, which they don't really need to do. They need to establish an actual opponent for Trick. I guess that's what they're doing with Noam Dar, but it's just been a weird build.
Yeah, him faking an injury to get out of wrestling seems like a weird spot to put him. And then have him challenge for your main championship. Like, I guess you can be a chicken shit heel. This feels like even too chicken shit for my comfortability level. So.
I just wish Noam Dar was taller. The guy's entertaining, but
Yeah, and a very good wrestler.
he's at where he's gonna be at. So,
Yep.
but yeah, no, I got a kick out of that. Just the doctor going, "Well, no, I can't clear you for the foreseeable future." Like, okay. If my dog, I have to go to the doctor tomorrow. If he's like, "Well, I'm gonna have to put you on the shelf for a little bit." What? And he just walks off. I'm like, I'm not paying this bill. Like, I don't care how much my insurance doesn't cover. God.
Yeah, I need a little bit more than that,
Yeah,
sir.
I need something to go off of. Oh.
Yeah, I did laugh at the very terse diagnosis
Yeah.
there. The foreseeable future. What exactly is the
Yeah.
foreseeable future?
Yeah, you're not allowed to do your job. See you later, buddy. Ugh. But yeah,
Oh.
but that was just NXT. It was just a hodgepodge of stuff. So.
I think we've at least mentioned most of the people's names that were on this show, so
Yeah.
I feel pretty okay about that roundup.
There was no follow-up to the Gigi Dolin quitting, was there?
No, you're right. Her and Ariana Grace were not on this show at
Okay.
all.
All right. I didn't think I missed it, but just to make sure.
Yep. So, yep, no real follow-up on that one. But hey, I mean, yeah, when you do have that many people, some people are gonna have to skip a week. They've been getting plenty of time. I don't think that's going anywhere. So,
Yeah.
you
Well,
know.
yeah, but that's about it for NXT until something like I guess they gotta get the card for this pay-per-view shaped up, and then maybe that yeah, they get some. Oh, we did skip over Wesley and that whole situation. I really like Obafemi. I is his accent real?
Yes, he is
Okay.
from legit from whichever country, and I believe grew up there for some portion of his or a most of his childhood,
Okay.
and
What?
then came to throw shot put at Georgia or Alabama, whichever one he went to.
I thought it was Florida.
Whatever.
Okay.
It is an SEC
Anyways.
school, like
But yeah, just what a.
A large SEC school that likely has a great track and field
Yeah.
program,
But I'm
just
like,
assume.
what a unique person. He's unique looking. He's big, but he's big. You know, you got like your big guys who are like kind of cut. He's not. He's just a big dude. He's got a presence to him. I mean, look at it like, it sounds stupid, but look at his posture. And I'm guessing that's from shot put because you got to keep, you know, keep your correct positioning and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to be scared on the mic at all. So, and then his voice is so unique. Knowing it's a real now, like, more so it's real. I don't see him down there much longer.
Yeah, he's one of the guys where I'm like,
They hit a gold mine on this one.
Yeah, there haven't been like there haven't been a lot of the guys that I'm like, man, like I mean, we kind of talked about it with how many women are just on the show in general, like, and I feel like a lot of them are doing like crazy mutant athlete things. Obafemi's in that category, like that is what he can do is at this stage already is pretty wild. Yeah, you can tell that he was a natural athlete throughout his life.
Yeah, I mean that. Don't forget that three-way with him, Josh Briggs. Yeah, I
Yes.
said Brooks earlier. Josh Briggs and Dijak. And it's like, all right,
That's
Dijak's going to the main roster. Let's roll that back. But yeah, but no, like I was a little on the fence. I don't think I'm exactly down with all the nerdy white guys in the crowd going ooh all the time. It's just like it's annoying. But and then two things that we can stop this. Lexus King just turning into a sleazeball is killing me. I think it's great, and they should keep going with it.
Yes, I did. I did enjoy his segment, and the fact that he misremembered JC's name twice in the same segment was fantastic.
And all he had to do on the card was write "Get well soon, Lexus King," and he still insisted on putting her name wrong. And then the other thing, real quick, and I didn't get a chance. I watched it today. You'd already watched it, but somebody in the crowd, and I felt bad for him. I think they were wearing a red shirt, and they were on the left. If you're looking at the TV, they're on the left. They were underneath some of the lighting, and one of the lighting rigs are like writing, or I'm sorry, not writing, lighting setups made them look like they were a clown. I could not stop looking at them, and I hope that they know like what was going on, because it was not flattering whatsoever, but it just made me laugh. Like, those LEDs can really do some goofy stuff to you. So,
Oh, fair enough. I did not notice the
yeah.
clown in the show.
I'm always watching for this stuff because the crowd is just like, oh boy. So,
Fair enough.
yep.
Drinking any beverages on your side of the microphone here, sir?
No, I'm fasting, so I have to do water. So I get stuck with a
Okay.
fucking needle again. Get tired of this stuff.
Well, that makes sense. I believe I grabbed this one from my younger brother when I was most recently at his house, because it's from Fathead's Brewery. I believe they have locations both in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and they brew at both locations. And I'm gonna try to grab the name here. Because it's definitely, oh, Hippie Sippy Imperial Stout. There we go. So, Imperial Stout and 9.3% ABV, 50% IBU. So, a little on the hoppy side, not quite a black IPA, but kind of getting there with that IBU level. So yeah, it's been an interesting one to drink this show here. So yeah, I'm not sure I always like heavy beers when I'm doing the show. It's just one of those things that, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the lighter beers are better for recording the podcast for some reason or
Yes,
another.
yeah. But I don't do your I don't do those anyways. So, well, it's not a stout, not what you're drinking.
Yeah.
Still never got into them. So,
Yep, fair enough.
yep.
So, yeah, this one is pretty unique. But yeah, Fatheads in general, I have had quite a number of tasty beverages from them. So, should you be in that Pittsburgh to Cleveland region, feel free to visit. They are a delicious brewery, and they probably have something for you, even if you don't like Imperial Stouts. So, yeah, that is the Belltime Beer Suggestion from Matt DeFrango. 11, he is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.